Southampton's Voice.
Voice FM.
Good afternoon. You're listening to The Business with Matt Trevis on Southampton's Voice FM. So from startups to established companies, I'll be bringing you a variety of guests from Southampton's business community. And today, I'm very excited because I am joined in the studio by champion of the people and bright spark, bringing energy to your business, Pete Naylor, independent energy consultant, and I would kind of put it as Southampton's version of Martin Lewis. Pete, welcome to the studio. How are you doing?
Yeah, great. Thanks. Hi, everyone. Hi, Matt. Yes, excited to be here, actually.
Good. It's brilliant to get you into the studio. Really, really excited to have a chat about what you've been up to. And of course, you know, from a business side, obviously, the independent energy consultancy. But I know that you obviously do a lot within the community as well. So we're going to be delving into that. And of course, some of your top tips for anyone out there that might be thinking about going self-employed or making the leap, going from employment into doing their own thing. But let's have a kick off then, Pete. So, you know, what's the current situation right now in the energy market, because it's, you know, the mind boggles.
Thanks. Well, it's been a bit of a storm, hasn't it, to be honest, Matt? I mean, it's you know, we've had these massive price rises earlier in the year, and the domestic market is just catching up. So beginning of COVID, prices were really cheap. Gas was very low, oil was like minus, but here we are. You know, who'd have thought, like, just 18 months 2 years afterwards, the prices are sky high. So the wholesale market has come down a little bit, but the domestic market is just catching up. So, you know, obviously the increase in the cap from January is going to affect householders. So, you know, I think that the major storm has passed, but we're not through it yet, unfortunately.
No, that's it. And is it still worth businesses, you know, shopping around, looking for a better deal?
Yes, definitely. I think, first of all, they sort of keep an eye on their contracts end dates, because some suppliers forget to tell you that you're out of contract. So you might be on... Yeah. You know, and the out of contract kind of deemed rates are really expensive, so you don't want to be in those. So definitely keep an eye on those dates and look at the market. But you know, we're here to help.
I think you've just alluded to one of your top tips, which of course in part two you're going to be sharing some of your top tips for businesses on what they can do to, you know, make sure they get the best deal, or they get a fair deal. Is it true, Pete, that you wanted to be just like Martin Lewis?
I did, actually. You know, when I was younger, I used to enjoy, like, you know, making sure I got the cheapest mortgage, the cheapest insurance, car insurance, house insurance, the cheapest utilities. Yeah. I was kind of thinking, yeah, I'd really like to do this. And then realised that Martin Lewis has already made a name for himself and I'd missed out.
He'd got there first.
He did.
I think it's really interesting. Of course, you know, let's have a little chat about your own business journey, because you are an independent energy consultant.
Yes.
When did you become an independent consultant?
I started about 10 years ago. I kind of was doing domestic. I mean, I was kind of like looking at helping my friends find the cheapest deals on the market. And I came across a company that actually I kind of thought, this is it. And this is how I can make a little bit of money too, because otherwise it was just going to be advice and, you know, how do I sort of pay my own bills?
Sure, yeah.
I got involved in the domestic market, helped loads of people save money. It's kind of quite exciting to say, you know, I can save you this much. And yeah, and also get a little bit of money for it. So I get paid every month now for helping them.
Well, it always helps, doesn't it?
It does help, yeah.
I know from conversations we've had, and we're going to delve into it a little bit later on, you know, in terms of what is it about this job or this vocation that you're, you know, this profession, I suppose, that you love. And ultimately, it comes down to just helping people. You like helping people, don't you?
I do, yeah. I do love helping people. I love meeting people as well. So it's kind of, you know, I think when I was a little bit younger, I didn't really appreciate how much I enjoyed meeting new people. So
you're quite passionate about this topic, Pete, I have to say. And yeah. Excuse the pun, but I can feel the energy.
Yeah, cool.
So when you're not doing that, when you're not helping businesses, you know, find better deals for their energy rates and all that side of it, what is it you do when you're not working? Because I know you do a lot of fundraising in the community. Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, yeah. So a while ago, I was kind of, you know, there was lots of kids hanging around in our area, and I kind of think, you know, what can I do? And I really had this idea of setting up a cafe, and then somehow kind of like that really got downsized. I ended up with a really good group of people. We just went around Bitten with flasks of hot chocolate, just chatting to the teenagers, and then we spent a lot of time down at the Veracity as well,
Which is in
Scholing. Yes. Yeah. So we used to go down every Thursday night. Used to get grants off the council to pay the council to put the floodlights on in the multi-use games area so they could actually see what they're doing in the winter.
Sure, yeah.
And then I was aware this this guy was set up this youth club. His name's John, John Oliver. And I was trying to think, it'd be really good to get some of these kids into his youth club, but it was quite a long distance. So he was in St. Andrew's Road, like the far end of Scholing. We're at the other end of Scholing. It's kind of, it's not really going to work. And then he told me that he acquired this shop and he was going to do all this stuff. Like, that's amazing. The council running a youth club couldn't afford to keep it going, so they gave it to John, basically, and his church. And yeah, so I kind of like, I got a bit jealous of him and tried to keep up. And in the meantime, we kind of stopped the hot chocolate on the Veracity, but we I met up with another couple. We were like running repair cafes, repair cafes, with an idea of taking over the pavilion there, which was a change room, but it's no longer needed as a change room. So we thought we'd make that into a cafe. And then John set up this Monty's community hub out of that shop that he acquired. And it was after some trustees. So I thought, yeah, let's catch up with him. Let's go and join Monty's as a trustee. And my role there is fundraising. So I just write grant applications is what I do. John's very good at it. I kind of learned from him. And now all of a sudden, the Veracity's kind of taken off and now John's involved in this project. So John and his wife Tammy. So it's really exciting. It's kind of like, it's kind of gone full circle. But we're looking to redevelop the Veracity, get local people encouraged to get involved in the community and, yeah, see where we go.
That's brilliant. Yeah. And do you find, obviously, being an independent energy consultant, does that give you some time so that you can obviously, you know, spend a bit of time on community work and...
I can do. I do a bit of other work as well with IT. So, but I do like the variety. So, I can sit down and do some computer work or I can go out and meet some people. And it's kind of, variety does help, you know.
Absolutely. What is it about the utilities industry that you love then?
It's a bit sad. It kind of really excited me, to be honest. Kind of like, you know, it's something that we have to spend money on, obviously, and it's actually quite confusing and quite time consuming to kind of find the best deals. So with the commercial energy, I've partnered with a company, Full Power.
Yeah, who are tell us about Full Power. How does that kind of fit into the mix?
Okay, so they kind of provide the professional resource that I need to be able to provide a professional service.
Sure.
So I go out and meet people and, you know, kind of like, yeah, you kind of really need to look at your bills. And then I work with Lee and Kimberly at the head office. And they do kind of like, they get the best prices. They check the bills to make sure you're not overpaying on VAT, because that can be a big issue. The climate change levy is something else that gets added to commercial bills. Make sure we're not overpaying on that.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got a team with them as well that can help them with that. So I kind of do all the groundwork and then they back that up with me. So it's really cool.
Excellent. Yeah, excellent. And what's the difference, Pete, between the domestic and the commercial energy market?
Okay, mainly that with a commercial contract, you tend to be in a fixed deal,
mm-hmm.
Which will run for a period of time. That deal ends, and then if not careful, you end up on these kind of deemed rates, which are quite expensive. The domestic market, the suppliers tend to buy like bulk energy in advance, so that their contracts are organised. Before the prices really shot up, they might have had their energy usage for their customers kind of set aside at a certain price.
Mm-hmm.
Commercial markets, if you wanted to become a customer of a commercial company, supplier, then the price would be as the wholesale market is at the moment. So those people who, unfortunately, you know, businesses who need a new deal back in January, wanted a new contract, they're paying sort of sky-high prices. Whereas if you'd switched to domestic supplier, they would have been governed by the Ofgem cap, but they weren't actually as high as the business market.
Absolutely. So. Yeah, absolutely. No doubt there are going to be people listening that have a business, perhaps they've got a shop or maybe they've got a factory or a warehouse, and they're thinking, yeah, my energy bill does seem a bit high. What kind of businesses do you tend to work with?
Well, we work with a whole range. I work with landlords who own houses of multiple occupation. We help them out. And we, you know, fish and chip shop. Our fish and chip shop was out of contract on paying a lot of money, so we sort of sorted her out. To big industrial engineering companies, you know, they're kind of, you know, a wide range. interestingly, the higher your usage, the cheaper the rates you can achieve. But obviously your bills are quite high because you're using quite a lot of it.
So is that like economies of scale, is it?
It is basically, yeah. So, you know, it's a bit like, you know, you could sort of go to the local supermarket, if you like buy 10 of it, things, it's cheaper than just buying one. So the same with energy, yeah. The more you buy, the cheaper you can get it.
I'm with you. I'm really curious now, Pete. What is the most you have saved a business on, say, their electricity?
The most I did was actually £200,000.
£200,000?
Yes.
Wow. Was that recent? Or
yeah, it was back in the summer, yes. So, yeah, that's...
I bet they were really happy with
they
that.
They were delighted, absolutely delighted.
Crikey. So, yeah. How did you manage that?
Well, actually, it was a referral. So I know Tim Brock at the FSB, the Federation for Small Businesses. I kind of got to know him quite well. And he was chatting to one of his clients and they said, you know, we're really kind of struggling with our energy prices and I'm not sure about the broker, you know, kind of maybe we could do better. And he said, well, just have a chat with Pete. And so they contacted me and, yeah, obviously we went through the pricing process for them. And in fact, they wanted to say, well, actually, we want our broker to do the same price as well. So you're up against them. I said, that's absolutely fine. We welcome competition. All we just say is that, you know, we pitch the market at the same day. So if you say to your broker, you know, let's go Wednesday, they can do a quote for Wednesday, we'll do a quote for Wednesday. It's the same playing field, and then you can decide which one's cheaper. And that's what he did. And yeah, absolutely delighted with the service.
That's fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm curious to know a little bit more about your process and how long that might take. The only thing is we're going to have to take a short break in just a mo. And we've got some music. And then we're going to obviously be coming back for part two, where you're going to be sharing some of your top tips, aren't you, for yeah, what businesses can maybe do in order to help them get the best deal on their energy. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely.
We've alluded to one or two of those tips, haven't we, just before. But we're going to go into that a bit more detail. But yeah, I would really like to go into your process and give people a bit of an insight into how that your kind of business model works. Because, I mean, £200,000, you've saved a business on their energy bills. It's worth a look, isn't it, surely, for any business?
Definitely.
Yeah,
definitely.
Okay. Well, look, don't go away. Join us again for part two, where we'll be back. I'm with Pete Naylor, an independent energy consultant. See you in a minute.
Voice FM.
You name it, we'll collect it.
So a bed?
Yep.
A sofa?
Yep.
All right, what about a shed?
Yes.
So anything?
Everything non-hazardous.
Hi there, I'm Steve.
And I'm Woody.
And we're the co-founders of Ethiclear.
We collect waste and clear houses.
And we do it ethically.
Because if your waste is good enough to be used again,
we'll make sure it is.
As Ethiclear has a network of like-minded people around Southampton.
So for anything
of almost any size
that you can't shift,
book your clearance at ethiclear.co.uk.
So I got a home office in the garden, and in the spring and the autumn it's perfect. But in the middle of winter and summer, it's not fun. The heater costs a fortune when it's cold outside. And in the summer, opening the windows just isn't enough. Which is why I got Just Coolers to install a small air conditioning unit. It keeps me cool in the summer and warm in the winter. It's the most cost-effective way of doing it. And with a 5-year guarantee and prices from £799, what's not to like? For your free quote, just visit just-coolers.com and keep your home office just right.
Voice FM.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Business with Matt Trevis on Southampton's Voice FM. And I am very excited to be sat in the studio with the one and only Pete Naylor, who is an independent energy consultant. And you know what? He does a really good job of helping businesses get the best possible deal on their utilities. Pete, how are you doing?
Yeah, doing magic. Thanks, Matt.
Good, 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 good. That was probably the quickest part one I think I've ever experienced in my life. We promised the guests, we said we were going to talk about some of your top tips for getting the best deal on your energy. But before we do that, I just wondered whether or not you could share a bit of insight around your process and how you go about saving businesses money on their energy. Talk us through it. What happens?
Yeah, well, it's all about those boring old bills to start with.
The boring, confusing bills.
Boring, confusing, yes. Those bills that I'm sure suppliers make they go their furthest to make them as ununderstandable as possible, to be honest. But yeah, so it starts with the bill. So we like to see it. The bill's quite important to us because A, the address of the meter is not necessarily your postal address.
Right.
So if we can see your bill and the address on the bill, then we know that market knows where that meter is. and also gives us the meter number. So there may be more than one meter at the premises, so we don't want to be changing the wrong meter. And then we also make sure that, you know, if you're on any like sort of different tariffs for evenings and weekends, to make sure we get that right. And also kind of an idea of how much energy you're using. So sort of gas and electric, we like to know roughly how much you're using. And then what I normally do is, you know, you've got a current supplier for a reason, so we always check to see what they're going to offer. And then Lee will search the market.
Lee's one of your colleagues over at Full Power.
Full Power, yeah. So so Lee gets a copy of the bill and he'll check to make sure, you know, the VAT's okay, climate change kind of is okay. And he'll sort of put it out to the market and see who responds.
Nice. Do businesses tend to switch their energy supplier?
It depends. Last year, when the prices were so high, I was finding actually that the current supplier was coming out better. So we'd say, you know, actually, in this case, you know, stick with the current suppliers. We'll speak to them. They might do you a you know, slightly better deal as well. So yeah, speak to them, but stick with them. Whereas this year, our advice is really to, you know, the ones that we've done, it's like, yeah, we're going to save you some money. So move on.
It's worth the switch.
Worth the switch.
How much effort does it take to make the switch? Once you've got a new offer on the table, let's say, you know, from the business owner's perspective, how much effort is it?
It's not too bad. We do all the paperwork for you. So Lee and Kimberly, who works with Lee, she'll send out a contract. The biggest part is just getting you to sign the contract. Mm-hmm.
And then everything else is taken care of.
Everything's taken care of, yeah.
And generally kind of time frames to when you sort of sign up for this new deal, how long does it take to sort of get in place?
Well, some contracts are arranged in advance, or so they might not expire for a couple of months. So they'll just roll over into the new contract
sure,
at the time.
Yeah.
If it wants to change now, it can be up to like 3 weeks before the new contract comes into place. So you might be on those out of contract prices just for 3 weeks.
That doesn't sound too painful.
No, it's not too painful, no. And we like to sort of be transparent. Obviously, we do get paid as well from that, not directly from the client. So they just pay their bill, and then separately the supplier pays us, and that's clearly labelled on the contract how much that fee is going to be. So it's it's all open
and it's transparent.
It's transparent. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing that, Pete.
That's okay.
Let's have a chat. Let's get into some of these top tips then.
Okay.
About, you know, what can or what should, you know, business owners be looking at? What can they look at? Let's go for it. What's your top tip number one?
Okay, the top tip really is make sure you're getting a bill, to be honest.
And that happens. Sometimes the bill gets lost somewhere.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Right.
Or it's not very regular. I work with a supplier that sends out monthly bills, so you know kind of exactly where you are. I was speaking to someone earlier today. She got a bill in December and then not one till June. So it's a long period for not getting a bill, not knowing how much you're actually using and what's going to be. So
you can, with some suppliers then, Pete, can you request a monthly bill?
If you've got a smart meter, you can kind of keep in touch with it, actually. That's probably another top tip coming, to be honest. Mm. You can. I think if they're not sending you a bill regularly enough, then, yeah, you're onto them.
Okay. Number two, what's top tip number two?
So top tip number two is making sure that you actually get actual readings rather than estimated readings. It's okay for, you know, once or twice maybe having it going with the estimated, but it's good to get those meters read. You know, it's the last day of a month today, so today is a good day to read a meter and get those readings sent through to make sure that you're actually paying for what you're using. And, you know, there's other things connected with your consumption. The climate change levy, for example, is based on what you're using. So if they think that you're using more than you are, then you're paying also more climate change as well upfront.
Yeah, tell us about the climate change levy, Pete. What is all that about?
Well, basically, it's another tax. So I was kind of thinking, it's a bit like, you know, if you drive your car in London these days, you get another tax for driving your car in London. It's a bit like that. You use energy, so the government's saying, you use energy, so we're going to tax you for it. And I say it's based on the amount of energy you use. So it's a calculation that, you know, a couple of pence per kilowatt hour that they add on.
And you mentioned something before about it being based on your SIC code.
Yes. So if you're on a manufacturing type business that's kind of like, you know, maybe mining materials, then you're going to pay a bit more climate change than someone who's just sat in an office. In fact, smaller business is probably exempt from it anyway. So, again, that's another thing to check. But yeah, so make sure that your SIT codes are representing what your business does.
And, make sure they're correct,
definitely.
And of course, you can check that on Companies House or...
Absolutely right, yeah.
Speak to your accountant, probably.
Accountant, yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's definitely worth checking.
Okay, what about VAT rates? Because there have been instances in the past where, you know, people have been charged the wrong rate of VAT.
Yeah, definitely. So, for example, houses of multiple occupation, they can have commercial rates, but they only need to pay for 5% VAT because they're actually, you know, house, it's a sort of residential use. Charities definitely should be 5%. So there, yeah, there's various organisations that you know, they're entitled to 5% VAT. So yes, yeah, another thing to check. I mean, we did a charity not so long ago. They had like sort of 6 little shops, and for some reason the supplier put them at 20%. So we were able to help them claim back 4 years of overpaid VAT, which was like £14,000.
Oh, wow.
Which is quite a big amount, isn't it? It's like definitely something worth checking, so you're on the right VAT.
The feeling I'm getting, Pete, is kind of don't take everything as read.
Definitely.
And it's something that it sounds... How easy is it to get a second opinion? You know, if someone was to phone you up tomorrow and said, Pete, do you know what? I don't know if I'm overpaying, but can you have a look?
Yes,
definitely. And what would they need to do? Just send you the bill?
Just send me a copy of the bill and I can easily take a look. Yeah.
And there's no cost to that?
No cost at all, no.
That sort of initial assessment, I suppose, for want of a better word.
Absolutely right, yeah. Yeah.
Do you feel like you're a bit of a detective sometimes?
Sometimes, yes, indeed, yeah.
Detective, problem solver.
I've got my magnifying glass out.
Yeah. What's the biggest bill you've ever looked at?
Biggest bill? Well, I suppose... do you know it's the numbers? You know, that, again, going back to that contract we sorted out earlier in the year, it's like when I saw what they were paying, it's like, wow, that's a lot of money. Oh, yeah, so it's still only one bit of paper, though, but it's this massive number on it.
But yeah, lots of zeros.
Lots of zeros.
Lots of zeros.
Yeah.
What about the impact, you know, a company's credit rating can have on the energy? Does that have any bearing?
It certainly does. So we did a new contract for a business recently, and you know there weren't many sort of suppliers coming back on it. It's going, well, you know, what's going on? And some of the rates were a bit high, and
they weren't getting many deals or many
exactly. So we sort of put the offer out on the search, and then like, you know, not many of them replied. So you know, what's going on here? It was referring to the credit rating, which is wrong. You know, there was nothing wrong really with the credit rating as such, but it was somehow, you know, that needed more investigation. So something to keep an eye on, definitely.
Yeah.
If you want the best rates, make sure your credit check comes out well.
Another good tip. So what have we got so far? We've got making sure you're getting a regular bill. Top tip number one. Mm-hmm. Number two is actual versus estimated readings and checking that those are all... Or having either or, is that what you're saying?
Well, it's make sure that you don't have too many of those bills have got estimated readings. You want to have a good idea of actually what you're using and getting paid the right amount.
Yeah, and businesses can have smart meters too, can they?
They can indeed, yes. Right. Yes, they can, yeah, which kind of solves that issue, yeah.
Doesn't it? I like that. And of course, you know, do you have conversations with businesses that you speak to and say, look, you know, are there areas where you can minimise your energy usage overall?
Certainly, you know, switch things off. I don't know about you and your even in your home. It's kind of like we seem to have so many things now that they need charging up. My wife's just bought an electric bike. So it's always been plugged in. So, switch off the things you don't need, basically. It's like, you know, that's my top tip, really. It's like, you know... Water heaters is a thing that, you know, anything that sort of generates a lot of usage, mainly heating and cooling, is the big areas.
At work and at home.
Definitely.
What about things like contract end dates, Pete? What about that? Have you got any tips around that?
Yeah, just keep an eye on them. I mean, as I say, sometimes suppliers kind of forget to kind of remind you that your contract's come to an end. And you really don't want... Actually, domestic is a little bit different. Some of the domestic fixed rates are actually higher than the variable rate. They certainly are at the moment, whereas, you know, historically before this price thing, it was the other way around. But certainly with commercial rates, the variable rates are a lot higher than the contract rates. So you definitely want to keep an eye on those dates.
Absolutely. And what about securing a new deal? Like how far in advance can that be done?
So with a commercial contract, we can, in some instances, we can go up to 12 months. So, you know, some business kind of may not want to kind of, you know, look that far in advance. But certainly if you were, you know, if your contract was expiring in the winter and this is now April, May time is probably a good time to start looking at the best rate. That's kind of traditionally when the market is, you know, is survived the kind of winter, prices are going down. Then's a good time to kind of look for, you know, for the future.
Absolutely. Have you got any other examples of businesses that you've, you know, helped save money?
Well, I said that our fish and chip shop, that was one that's kind of, you know, out of contract rates and like paying almost twice as much as you need to pay.
Astronomical.
Yeah, definitely.
So what did you do?
Just got onto a fixed rate as soon as we could. And no, price come tumbling down. So yeah, definitely.
It was well worth a. And what happens? What happens, Pete, in an instance where you can't beat their current deal? What do you do?
Well, if they can't beat it, then just, you know, they're on the best rate for them. So yeah, but at least we've checked, you know. So
yeah, I see what you're saying. Well, give us a quick rundown then. Give us a quick rundown of these top tips then.
Okay, so make sure you're getting a regular bill. Make sure you've got using actual. Readings rather than kind of estimated. Check your VAT, make sure that you're on a VAT rate. Climate change, just make sure you've got the right SIC codes registered with Companies House. If you're coming up for renewal, just keep an eye on your credit report, make sure that that's all in order. And, you know, you can minimise energy as much as you can. And of course, you can always think about, you know, renewable energy. I know a couple of good guys locally. Who could, if you're interested in solar power, they could work out how much solar power your roof can generate, depending on, you know, which way it's facing, the angle of the roof. So yeah, so EVR or Greenlight Electrical, great for a local company for doing that. And did you know? I don't really know this, Matt, but say you had solar panels on your roof, and one of those panels had a bit of a shadow on it, maybe from a chimney or a bit of a tree. Did you know that? Obviously gets reduced energy, but it affects all the other panels as well, so they match the output.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so you kind of think, oh, you know what, all the rest of my panels are in full sun, they're getting full energy, but then no, then they might not be. So but talking to someone like EVR, you know, Scott or Nick at Greenlight Electrical, they can sort that out. So you know, if one panel's affected, it doesn't affect all the others. So yeah, didn't know that.
That's a great tip. Have you ever thought about going into renewable energy consultancy?
Maybe, yeah, that's a good idea, mate.
Really, really good idea. No, thank you for sharing that, Pete, because it must be difficult for business owners. Let's be honest. They've probably got a million and one other things they're probably trying to sort out or exactly. Manage or look after. Spinning plates, we've all seen it. And they're probably out there thinking, God, that's just going to be a hassle. But actually what you're saying is it's not, really.
No.
They just need to dig out the bill.
That's right, yeah. And, you know, you, someone like me, I'm quite happy to, you know, we're quite happy to sort of pop by, have a look at the bill, and as I say, the advice is free.
And just before because we've got to take another short break in just a moment, a bit more music, and we're going to come back and talk about some of the challenges and the lessons learned that you've learned along the way in your incredible business journey. But I was just going to say, you know, in terms of your kind of radius or where are the businesses located that you help? You know, is it just Hampshire? Is it just Southampton?
Yeah, obviously, to visit sort of Hampshire's kind of ideal. But no, if someone wants to send me a bill from Manchester or, you know, Newcastle, then we can cope with that. So, yeah, if you want a physical visit, then, you know, I'm based in Southampton, but...
geography is not an issue.
Not really an issue, no.
I love that. Well, look, don't go away. Like I said, in part three, we're going to be talking to Pete about some of the amazing lessons he's learned. And believe you me, he has some incredible tips. So if you're thinking about, you know, going into business or you're thinking about starting a venture, he's got some really interesting insights that he's going to be sharing. So don't go away. Yeah, see you soon.
Live and local. Voice FM.
Let's hear more from Ian at Station Motors.
I think it's important to have a family business. My customers relate to it. I've been doing cars for people and now I'm doing their son's cars. My daughter works in reception and my son's nearly a fully qualified accountant. He does my bookwork, both very good drivers. I used to walk to school past his garage. It was a petrol station back then. So I ended up buying the garage off that family, you know. So I like to think I brought my family into that family business.
Station Motors Woolston by the Itchen Bridge.
This is the sound of exercise when it's made fun. It's called Visosport, and it started in Southampton. You meet up, you play fun games, you exercise, you laugh, you keep fit. It's for people of all abilities. Visit visosport.net or search for Visosport in Meetup and have fun getting fit.
Southampton's Voice FM.
Pete, how are we doing?
Yeah, it's going great. Yeah, thanks for being here.
Oh, you're welcome, you're welcome. So I'm in the studio with Pete Naylor, who is an independent energy consultant, or as I like to say, Southampton's version to Martin Lewis. Does a fab job at helping businesses save money on their energy bills, which can only be a good thing, helping the bottom line and all that good stuff. So Pete, we alluded to it at the end of part two. This is the part of the show where I love to delve into your own personal business journey and some of the lessons that you've learned along the way and any advice that you might be able to share or give to anyone out there that may be thinking, do you know what? I would really love to go self-employed, or I really want to start my own business. So over to you really, Pete. What would you kind of say?
Well, I think the first thing is, like, obviously do things that you love. I mean, the things I do, I really love and enjoy doing. And the question is, you know, if you weren't getting paid for it, would you still do it?
And I have a feeling you probably would still do what you do.
Oh, I do. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
Trouble is, the wife needs to, you know, maintain her standard of life, so I have to raise a little bit of money. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Yeah, we all have bills to pay, don't we?
We do. We certainly do.
So, yeah, you were saying about finding a person who does what you kind of want to do in a way.
Yeah, I think I sort of mentioned, you know, earlier in the conversation with John and Tammy Oliver, kind of like they were doing something I wanted. So it's kind of find those people who you're kind of almost jealous of. You kind of think, well, why are they doing that? Why aren't I doing that? And then just go and, like, tag along. You know, a few years ago, like my son Tim, he was in, like, the young RSPB kind of club, the sort of wildlife explorers. And when we used to go on, you know, on trips, I used to say, hang about with the leaders because they know what they're doing and they know what they're looking for and they can know what they're hearing. And it's amazing what you just pick up, little sort of little bits that that they just mention in passing. Oh, I didn't know that. So, yes, hang around with those sort of people.
Mm. Yeah, surround yourself with sort of like-minded people.
Exactly.
Or,
yeah.
That's a really wise bit of advice. And actually, it's something that I've heard in the studio before with other guests. So you're in company with that one.
Yeah.
What other advice would you give, Pete?
One of them is one of the films I was watching a while ago. We Bought a Zoo. Have you ever seen that, Matt?
I haven't watched it, but I do know the film you're talking
okay,
about.
Yeah. So Matt Damon was in it. And, he had this line that says, all you need is 20 seconds of insane courage, and I promise good things will come of it. So, I've applied that a few times and, you know, got into trouble. But it's been good trouble, if you know what I mean. It's kind of like, you know, I ended up buying a flat that I rent out, which I wouldn't intend to do that, but it's like an opportunity came along. It's like, yeah, let's do it. So, interesting. 20 seconds.
Yeah, just sometimes you just have to bite the bullet.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So when you'd sort of decided that, right, you know, you want to go self-employed in essence, did you make the leap straight away? Did you go from kind of, you know, full-time employment to that? Or did you sort of have it as a side hustle first? Yeah. Or how did you do it?
Yeah, definitely a side hustle. Kind of like, you know, kind of learn the process without the risk. You know, as I said, my wife, Kathy, she loves the house. She wants them to get a mortgage. So, we have to make sure the mortgage is paid. Definitely kind of dip the toe in the water, see how it goes. And then sort of get experience.
And at what point, Pete, did you say, right, okay, you know, I'm at the point now where I can now turn this from a side hustle to a full-time hustle?
Yes. Obviously, when the bills are paid and you're confident of that, then that's the time.
That's the time to do it. Because I've heard some people say, you know, line up some clients before you make the leap. Like you say, do a bit of a side hustle. We had Simon from Green Oil on a couple of weeks ago, and he was saying, because he sort of makes products, and he was saying, just try and, you know, create a small batch. And even if you sort of go to a market and you just try and sell some of that small batch, just to see how it goes, do a bit of market research, get a flyer printed. You know, how much is it to get some flyers printed?
Yeah.
Not a lot, from our friends over at Trojan Mailing in Southampton.
Indeed.
And you said something about, you know, it's that fighting the urge, because you don't want to necessarily waste money, or you don't want to necessarily spend money with a risk associated to it. But sometimes you just have to take that leap of faith.
Indeed. It's like, even like you say, sort of like buying flies, you kind of think, well, you know, am I ready for that? Should I do it? You know, if I don't use them, then that's wasted money. So you've got those decisions all the time. You're kind of like balancing risk about, you know, but if you don't take a risk, then you can't move forward. So it's sometimes quite hard, but you know, you can kind of surround yourself by positive people. That always helps.
Well, let's talk about that, because obviously you've alluded to, you know, surrounding yourself with good people, and I have it on very good authority that you do a very, very good job of chairing a local networking group, Poddy.
Well, it's nice to get that kind of feedback.
But tell us a little bit about that, because how has networking affected or impacted your business?
It's actually affected it more than I thought.
Took you by surprise.
It did take me by surprise. And it's kind of something that I've put up for a long time, you know, because I knew of networking groups, and they tend to be like early in the morning. And, you know, we had issues with getting everybody out of the house, which can, you know, I know is a real challenge for a lot of people.
And school runs and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, and you kind of end up with, you know, you've got constraints at the beginning of the day and constraints at the end of the day, and you kind of like, it does your head in. But actually, this opportunity opened up for me. Again, it's like, you know, 20 seconds said yes. And
This is the 20 seconds of insane courage.
One of the 20 seconds, yeah. So it's kind of like someone said to me, look, you know, I've got a space at this networking group. If you don't fill it, someone else will. So it's like, oh, I don't want to miss out. So let's go for it. And it's really good, because obviously, you know, it's an opportunity for me to kind of refine my own business. You know, get a minute to talk about your business, which kind of makes you think about what you do and why you do it. But you meet sort of people that are kind of like-minded, and, you know, they have their own energy. And it's kind of great to kind of start the day in that thing. But in that place where you kind of feel really energized, but also you just add things to your own talk. I mean, I love connecting people to people.
You do, you do. And it comes across in a really authentic way. Like, yeah. You are passionate about what you do.
Yeah, so I was doing a domestic energy visit, and the guy there was an electrician, and he said, you know, I'm really struggling to get my bills paid. The people aren't paying my bills. And I said, you know what? I know a very good person that would really help you out. Let me introduce you. And it's up to them. You know, I don't think they took him up at that time. But, you know, that's not for me to decide. You know, I can't run other people's lives. But I can say, do you know what? I know the person that you need to speak to. And that's really great. It's great to have this kind of toolbox of people who you can refer to when you're in a situation where, well, I can't answer that, but I know someone who can. And likewise, you know, some of the contracts I've picked up are because other people have been speaking to them and going, oh, you need to speak to Pete. So, you know, kind of like that cross-referring of business, and just knowing that, you know, I see you've got like a public liability sort of sign up there. I mean, you know, somebody who does insurance, who tells you what you don't need to buy. You know, most people you speak to, oh, yeah, you need to have that cover, you need that cover as well. But Adam says, no, you don't need that bit.
So. That's Adam Penny from Penny and Wells.
Indeed, yeah.
And if anybody's out there that's you know, struggling to get paid on time, that's Sarah Lowe. Is that Sarah Lowe? Is that who you're referring to?
Yes, Sarah Lowe, yes, that's right.
Sarah Lowe, SLCM. And Sarah was on the show. In fact, Adam's been on the show.
Excellent.
So, yeah, shout out to those guys. Did you want to do any shout outs?
Well, I know there's a couple of people. Debbie, she looks after the mayor over at Eastleigh. She was said she's going to try and listen in. So, hi, Debbie, if you're there. And obviously, John and Tammy, I've mentioned them a few times. So, that's everyone at Monty's. Josh, who organises the bike hub, and Anna, who does the community hub. Yeah, for those guys there, great.
Shout out to those guys. Perhaps we should get Monty's on the show.
Well, yeah, that'd be great, wouldn't it?
That'd be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah, sort that out.
Do you find, because obviously, you know, the thought of turning up to a networking group at 6:45 in the morning, full of a room of people, you don't know anybody. For some people, that would strike the fear into them, and they're no, absolutely not.
Mm.
What would you say to those people?
I would say that, like with many things, actually, you know, the first time you're in an environment that you're uncomfortable with, the first thing you want to do is run away. But actually, that urge does kind of like subside. But hey, if you want to join a networking group and you're not sure, then, you know, again, if you know anyone who does go to a networking group, ask whether you can go along with them as a guest.
As a guest, yeah.
And that kind of like just smooths the water a little bit. But so, yeah, so if anyone wants to come along to mine, I'm more than happy to, you know, bring them along and see how it feels.
Yeah, excellent. Well, I would highly recommend it. let's circle back round to kind of you and your own unique kind of business journey, Pete. I mean, I'm curious, what's next? What's on the horizon for, you know, what you're up to?
Well, that's I think, expansion, I think, obviously. My son's just moved up to Suffolk, so that's like another area I can kind of just go and enjoy. Yep. I mean, I love going on holiday in the area too, so, you know, it's widen the net. And I think what we've got going actually down in Shoreling on the Veracity is quite exciting. So, you know, it's a bit of growing the business, but a bit of growing community development as well. So,
it's nice, isn't it? Yeah. It feels like you've got a really good balance, if I'm honest. You've nailed that one. If there's anybody listening, Pete, that want to get involved with what's going on at the Veracity,
mm-hmm.
or wants to get involved with anything that's going on with Monty's, what can they do? Can they get in contact with yourself?
They can, certainly can. Monty's Community Hub and the Bike Hub, they're all on Facebook. And the Veracity's Veracity Life, that's on Facebook. So, yeah.
And if there's any business owners out there that, you know, just feel like they are paying over the odds,
mm-hmm.
and they don't want to necessarily, they don't want all the hassle, definitely having a chat with you sounds like the way forward, doesn't it?
Yeah.
For sure.
Definitely.
How can they get in contact with you, Pete, on the utilities front?
Okay, so I have a website which is kind of linked to Full Power. So can I give that out? So
yeah, feel free.
So we're at www.fullpowerutilities.com, and then to get in touch with me, to add /Peter Naylor, that's Nailer. So it's fullpowerutilities.com/Peter Naylor, or you can email me at Peter Naylor, that's Peter Nailer, at fullpowerutilities.net, and my phone number is 07942 779 606.
Nice. And you know, Would you visit? Can you go to businesses? You can pop in and see them.
I can pop in and see them. Yeah, definitely. I was always up for a chat.
Evening visits.
Yeah, anytime. You know, always working.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. I suppose that's one of the things with like sort of working for yourself. You kind of, you know, when's the cutoff time? And most days there isn't. You know, until your eyelids are closed and think that Pete, it's like 10:30, 11 o'clock. Time to kind of call it a day.
Absolutely. But, just out of interest, Pete, how many businesses have you helped since you've been doing what you're doing? God, it must be in the hundreds.
Well, I'd like to think that, but actually, it's probably about 25, mm-hmm. That we've saved money for. But yeah, the savings are huge.
There they are. Just casting my mind back to part one, where you'd help that company save £200,000 on their utilities.
Yeah,
that is absolutely mega. I mean, obviously, you know, not every business is going to be able to save that. But generally speaking, you know, when it comes to when you are able to save businesses money, you know, what are we talking? Are we talking 5%, 10%? Is there an average?
It does vary. And of course, it depends when that previous contract was put in place as well. So, you know, anyone's taken out a contract in January this year, next time we go around it, we'll be saving them huge amounts of money. But yeah, it's like sort of like 5%, 10%, I guess, is, you know, fairly average.
Nice. I want to ask you one final question, Pete, if I may.
Mm.
And it's something that I do with all my guests on the show.
Right.
And that is, if you were sat opposite somebody right now that wanted to go self-employed or start a business or maybe start another business and was kind of a little bit on the fence, what would you say to them?
Insane courage, 20 seconds.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Yeah, yeah. That's a really, really good quote, actually. Yeah, really, really, really good quote. Have you enjoyed yourself on the show, Pete?
Oh, it's been amazing. Yeah, thank you so much for inviting me.
You're most welcome. I mean, maybe we could do a revisited, you know, and you can maybe give us an update on what's happening in the energy market.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
In 6 months' time.
Yeah, and what I haven't said is that we also help charities as well, so they can join in with us and we can save them some money and also they can make some money too.
That's brilliant, isn't it? So, yeah. And when you say charities, are you talking like the big national ones or are you talking about, you know, smaller
local
charities?
With Monty's. So as I said, I'm a fundraiser with Monty's and one of the things they do is that they sell my broker services so that I can save them, I can make them a bit of money as well, so...
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, that is brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, look, best of luck, Pete, with... I know you do a lot of the grant applications for charities, I can imagine takes an awful lot of time and dedication.
Yeah.
So, yeah, really well done for doing that and wish you the best of luck with that. And, of course, you know, as Southampton's premier independent energy consultant, a.k.a. Southampton's answer to Martin Lewis, we do wish you all the best of luck. And thank you for coming on the show. It's been absolutely brilliant. And thank you for the top tips as well. What's the one main takeaway that people should go away with? Checking the boring bills, wasn't it?
Yes, check those boring bills. Yeah, definitely. definitely.
Check those boring bills. Well, if you've enjoyed that show, I'm going to be back next week with another amazing guest. And Pete, one final farewell. Thank you very much for coming to the studio. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
No problem at all. So yeah, if you like that, you've been listening to The Business with Matt Trevis on Southampton's Voice FM. Bye for now.
Voice FM. Voice FM.
Don't put in your recycling bin greasy pizza boxes. And don't put in your recycling bin dirty tins and dirty plastic bottles.
If any of your recycling is dirty, greasy or wet, your whole bin could be rejected. So follow this golden rule. Keep your recycling clean, dry and loose. And remember,
don't put in your recycling bin greasy pizza boxes.
This message is supported by Voice FM. And if you want to know more about recycling in Southampton, visit voicefmradio.co.uk/recycling.